This is BBC Radio 4, now Saturday Night Theatre.
Dear brother Frederick, this will be the first letter you have had from me, and unless God has reserved a miracle, it must be the last. Look with tolerance upon my errant hand, for my poor storm-tossed ship commands my pen more than I. We lie between two sunken rocks, but half a mile from the coast. Though what with the violence of the sea, it might as well be a thousand miles. Look at the postage stamp on the envelope. I've taken it from a consignment of new stamps destined for the Antiguan post office. It is, I fear, a picture of my watery grave. But alas, the lighthouse is mere fancy. If it had been other, I would not be writing you this letter. Such is my fate. The funnel is gone. My crew and passengers took to the boats in the belief they might reach land. They were mistaken. I am alone. I fear my end is getting ever closer. I bequeath to you and your heirs all that I have. A tidy sum, all sealed and safe in the charge of the white billet picket line. This is my last will and testament. Now, my dear brother, I feared I must leave you. The sea is pouring in all around. I will seal this letter in a bottle and trust it to the mercy of the sea, hoping against hope the Lord will grant it safe passage. Farewell, dear Frederick. And may we meet one day in the other land. Your affectionate brother, Tom.
Take pity on this, my humble last will and testament, which I now consign to your mercy.
Antigua Penny Puce by Robert Graves, dramatised by John Petherbridge, with Aidan Gillett and Trevin McDowell.
Jane?
What?
What are you doing with my stamp album?
Nothing.
You know you have to ask permission.
Only looking.
Give it to me.
No.
Give it to me.
No.
It's mine.
Don't snatch.
Well, give it to me then.
Say, please.
Please.
Please, Jane, can I have my album back, please?
Please, Jane, can I have my album back, please?
Properly.
Please, Jane, can I have my album back? Got it.
Didn't want it anyway. Don't worry, I haven't done anything to it.
If you have, I'll tell Father.
Do you want these stamps?
Where did you get them?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Bet I've got them already.
Then I'll throw them on the fire.
Don't you dare.
But if you've already got them...
I could use them for swaps. Where did you say you got them from?
I didn't.
Mother must have given them to you.
Why ask if you know?
Can I have a look?
If you let me stick them in.
All right.
Promise?
I promise. Oh, gosh. I haven't got any of these. Are you sure Mother didn't say they were for me?
Shall I get the glue pot?
What for?
To stick them in, stupid.
You're the stupid one. You don't know that you must never, 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 never stick stamps in with glue.
Why not?
Because you wouldn't be able to get the stamps out again if they're stuck in with glue, stupid.
Why would you want to?
Oh, don't you know anything? Because they might be in the wrong place.
You should put them in the right place to start with.
Anyway, you wouldn't be able to take a stamp out and sell it if it was stuck in.
Why would you want to sell a stamp if you're collecting them?
Lots of reasons.
Tell me one, then.
Because you have two the same.
Then why stick the second one in?
Oh, these are stamp hinges.
I know.
You have to put them on the back of the stamp like this.
Let me.
We've got to sort them all out first. Put all the Great Britain ones over here, then I'll look them up in the catalogue. Then we'll put them in together.
You make everything so boring.
You've got to do things properly. Father said so.
Boring. Can't see why we don't just stick them in and be done with it.
What are you doing?
Separating this block of Newfoundland stamps so I can put one in.
You stupid idiot.
Don't call me an idiot.
You did it on purpose.
What?
Ruin my collection, that's all. I was keeping those Newfoundland 5 cents specially.
I was going to put the other three in the swap box.
Oh, don't you know anything? An unused block like that is worth much more than 4 single stamps.
How was I to know?
I can't trust you with anything. Give them to me.
I haven't finished.
Give them to me.
No.
I'll make you.
Let go of my hair.
Give me my stamp.
You're hurting.
Good, I'm glad.
Oliver.
He pulled my hair, Gwenny.
She separated my Newfoundland 5 cents.
I don't know what it is with you two. Can't be enough with my sewing for 5 minutes without hearing you squabbling over something or other.
It was Jane's fault.
That's enough. If I hear any more, I'll tell your father.
I hate your beastly stamps.
You won't tell father, will you?
Might. I haven't decided.
He'd understand if I told him what you did to my Newfoundland 5 cents.
We'll see.
Oh, you can stick all the stamps in if you want to.
I'm going.
Oh, I didn't mean to hurt you.
You should have thought of that before.
Don't tell father. You didn't tell father about this morning, did you?
This is for you.
What is it?
Why don't you open the envelope and find out?
Gosh. Central American mix. Just what I wanted. How did you know?
I've seen you looking at them in the newsagent's window about 100 times a day.
I'm really bad on Central American. It's not a trick, is it?
If you don't want them...
Gosh, no. Of course I want them. Where did you get the money from? They cost 3 shillings and 6pence.
Mind your own business.
Look, I'm frightfully sorry about what happened this morning, but they were Newfoundland 5 cents.
My head's still sore where you pulled my hair.
It was jolly sporting of you not to tell father. You're not going to tell him, are you?
You're such a bully.
I said I'm sorry.
You always say that.
I am. I honestly am. You can share my stamp album with me if you promise not to tell father.
You'll do it again if I always give in to you.
I won't.
Half each?
We'll share it.
Equally? Yes?
As long as you don't tell father.
My own stamp album.
Half. You can get all your friends to give you all their stamps. And you can write to Cousin Eric in Bolivia and Aunt Nellie in Paris asking them for stamps.
Why me?
You're better at that sort of thing. Anyway, Cousin Eric always does what you ask him, and Aunt Nellie always spends much more on your birthday present than she does on mine.
And I'll get Edith Whitebillet to give me all her stamps. With her father being a shipping magnet, he's bound to have stamps from all over the world.
Price?
Hazard.
Call me Hazlitt.
Sorry, Hazlitt.
What are you doing in here? You should be in choir.
I'm fagging for House Captain, and he told me to wait for him here.
Don't let him catch you with that stamp album in your hands.
Why not? It's mine.
I'd hide it if I was you.
Why?
Why? You must get out of the habit of asking questions. First is do what they are told and keep their little mouths tightly shut. But for your information, stamp collecting is nefas here. Not done. Nefas. Understood?
But I saw one of the first 11 with a stamp album.
Must have been a blood. Bloods can do what they like. You can't.
Anyhow, what's wrong with stamp collecting?
More questions? I don't know. I don't suppose anybody does. It's just one of those things. It's nefas and that's all there is to it. You ought to be jolly grateful that I told you.
Thanks, Hazard.
Hazlitt. Is that your cake?
Yes.
Give it me. Give it me and I won't spill the beans on you having an album.
But I only got it this morning. Mother said she made it specially for me.
That's another thing you'll have to learn. We don't talk about our families here. Definitely, Nafas.
I didn't know.
Are you going to give me the cake or not?
Half?
You don't want to see your album torn up and used in the paper chase, do you?
Crikey, no.
Well, then.
All right. You can have it.
Jolly decent of you. Not bad. Matron will look after her album until the end of term. She's got a whole cupboard full of them.
Gosh, Edith, where did you get all these stamps from?
Father's study.
Wasn't it locked?
I made a key.
Oh, you're a genius.
It's easy once you understand the principle.
Weren't you scared someone might see you and call the police?
Oh, no. Father would be proud of me for burgling his study. They're for Oliver's collection.
Our collection, you mean?
Can you send them to him?
Well, why don't you?
I don't know his address.
I'll give it to you.
It would be better if you sent them. Say you got them from an anonymous source.
If that's what you want.
Please.
What's this envelope?
I found it in Father's safe.
You opened his safe?
Easy as pie. The envelope was right at the back. There's a letter in it, all about a ship sinking and stuff like that. It's ever so exciting, so I took it.
Oh, let's have a look. My dear brother Frederick, this will be the first letter you have had from me. Look with tolerance upon my errant hand. Two sunken rock. Violence of the funnel has gone. Sea pouring. Farewell, farewell. The poor man must have drowned.
I tried looking the stamp up in my cousin's catalogue, but couldn't find it.
Antigua, one penny. It's probably very valuable. Won't your father miss it?
I don't think so. It was under all these other papers. I'm sure it hasn't been touched for years. Oliver's bound to know all about it.
October the 8th. Dear Oliver, a friend who wishes to be anonymous asked me to send you the enclosed stamps and envelope, which she obtained from an anonymous source. She thinks the stamp on the envelope may be valuable. I looked it up in your catalogue but couldn't find it. You told me that every stamp in the whole world was in your catalogue, but this one wasn't, which just shows you're not as clever as you think you are. So there. There was also a letter. Trouble is, I have left it upstairs and I haven't got time to get it before the post goes, so you'll have to wait till you come home for the Holes to read it. Your affectionate sister, Jane Palfrey Price.
What's that, Price?
It's a letter from my sister.
Nafas, Price. Nafas.
October the 20th. Dear Oliver, did you receive the stamps and envelope I sent you? Jane Palfrey.
November 1st. Dear Jane, in response to your correspondence of the 8th and 20th instance, of course I received the stamps and the envelope. Why ever wouldn't I if you addressed your letter correctly? It may not have crossed your mind that now I'm at Chichester, I have several considerably more important things to do than worry about such soppy prep school things as stamps. Nor do I have time to waste writing to young girls like yourself, even if you are my sister, Oliver. P.S. I nearly scored a goal playing for my house team last Wednesday.
November the 3rd. Honoured brother, now that you have put away childish things, your obliged sister grieves for the loss of a sportive playmate, yet rejoices in having gained instead a wise counsellor and protector. You conceited prig. You idiotic show-off. Just try that ridiculous, haughty manner when you're home at the vicarage. Then see how far it gets you. Jane Palfrey.
Admiring yourself?
Jane.
Oliver.
What are you doing here?
Gwenny told me you were here, so I thought I'd take the opportunity to say hello.
A likely story. How did she know I was here, anyway?
She saw you come in. Gwenny's my eyes and ears, as well as my wardrobe mistress.
She always did take your side, even when we were children.
That's because Gwenny has always had a keen sense of justice. And I'll always be grateful to her because of the way she helped me with my acting when Father was being difficult.
She has a lot to answer for.
I'll ignore that. So, when I read that the gallery was exhibiting the stamp collector, I knew it was only a matter of setting Gwenny to keep watch, because I knew you wouldn't be able to resist seeing yourself.
I was away at school when the picture was finished, so this is the first time I've had a chance to see it. It's rather splendid, isn't it?
smug and sentimental, I'd call it.
I don't agree.
That's what the Observer said. And the Observer is generally very sound on pictures. On most things, in fact.
Given you a good review, have they?
Cigarette?
Not at the moment, thank you.
It conveys a completely false impression. Father leaning over his beloved son, who is arranging his stamps in his album, while the ever dutiful daughter looks on admiringly. Oh, the stamp collector. It was our stamp album, our stamp collection.
I should have known you'd bring this up.
It would have been gracious if you'd done so, especially as it seems to be on your conscience.
It is not on my conscience.
Don't contradict yourself. You just said you thought I'd bring it up, so you must have been thinking about it. Anyway, if it wasn't on your conscience, it ought to be.
I'm not ashamed of anything.
What did happen to our stamp album?
My stamp album is in my flat.
Ah, you agreed to share it.
You tricked me. Mother told me later that she gave you the money to buy those Central American mix, but you had me thinking you'd bought them with your own money.
You were free to think what you wanted.
The only time you showed any interest is when you thought it would annoy me.
Was there a better reason?
You never bothered to learn the first thing about stamps.
I did. Anyway, it was you who took the album to Chichester without asking me.
To keep it safe. It's mine, and I'm keeping it. I shall give it to my son when I marry and have one.
I want my half for my daughter when I marry and have one.
Don't be ridiculous.
You're the one who's being ridiculous.
You know that your daughter, if you ever find anyone stupid enough to marry you, won't be any more interested in philately than you were.
Then she can give it away.
It is my collection.
I had all my friends collecting for you.
Exactly. For me. Me.
Calm down, Oliver.
It's your fault. You make me like this. You know, Mother gave me the album.
You can keep the album. I only want my fair share of the stamps.
You're just doing this to spite me. You always were a little beast.
Of course, I might think differently if you returned Mother's heirlooms, which you looted.
Oh, so that's why you came here. I knew there must be some reason other than looking at a family picture.
I want the Book of Hours, Spencer's Shepherd's Calendar, and the Silver Pyx. You can keep anything else you've stolen, including our stamp album.
I did not steal anything. Father entrusted them to me.
Mother always said you were a crook by nature. You know that if I hadn't been in America, Mother would have given them to me before she died.
Father was afraid that you would get your hands on them and sell them. I promised him I'd look after them.
Father's dead.
And I don't break promises.
Then I want my half of our stamp collection.
You can whistle.
That's what you think. I shall come to your flat, and we'll work through the album, country by country, page by page, taking turns to choose. And I'm going to watch your face carefully to see which stamps you most hope I won't take and choose them. It'll be like pulling teeth.
I won't let you in.
Then I shall sue you. And since I can afford better lawyers, not only will you lose in court, but it'll cost you a great deal of money.
Look, you hadn't given the album a single moment's thought for 15 years until you read that notice in the Observer.
The Observer is very sound on most things.
It is not fair.
You should have thought of that when you pulled my hair all those years ago. Have a cigarette to calm your nerves. Light.
Thank you.
Thursday afternoon at 4.
Sorry, sir, but it's no smoking in here. Can't you read the notice?
But you saw Miss Palfrey smoke. You didn't do anything to stop her.
I don't think our visitors would mind if they saw Miss Palfrey smoking. They would regard it as a privilege to be in the same building.
She isn't royalty, you know.
I'm not sure we'd be very happy about them smoking in here.
I am her brother.
Really, sir? You don't look a bit like her.
That's me in the picture, with the stamp album.
Is it? Can't see the likeness myself.
Yes, I was a great collector in those days.
No finer hobby for a boy, I always say. Used to be a bit of a collector myself. Got started when I was on my back in hospital in the war. The time just flies past when you're sorting a 2-bob bag of miscellaneous.
Right.
Had the same album as you, I did.
Stanley Gibbons, 1916.
That's right, sir. My son Harold has it now. Mind you, I'm afraid he's much more interested in signed photographs of actresses these days.
Is he indeed?
Oh, yes, it's all the fashion these days. Look, I know it's a bit of a cheek asking, Mr. Palfrey.
Price. Oliver Price. for some peculiar reason best known to herself, my sister insisted on taking her mother's maiden name.
Mr. Price, you being her brother and that, any chance of getting Harold a signed photograph of Miss Palfrey?
Miss Palfrey doesn't give out signed photographs.
I know, but as a brother, I thought maybe...
You say that your son's album is the same as mine.
Well, that's right, sir. It's like the one in the picture.
I suppose by any chance your son would be prepared to swap his stamp album for a signed photograph of my sister.
Oh, I'm sure he would. He'd give everything he's got for one. Miss Palfrey is his favourite actress.
Mr. Hazlitt?
Yes, how can I help you?
I want to buy some stamps. Did I know you from somewhere?
We get people from all over the world coming in here to buy and sell stamps, but I don't remember you.
Hazard?
Hazlitt.
We were at school together.
I don't think so.
Charchester. Fass and Nefas. Done and not done.
What did you say your name was?
Price. Oliver Price.
Price? No, doesn't ring a bell.
You warned me off collecting stamps. You told me it wasn't done at Charchester. Definitely Nefas, remember?
How can I help you, Mr. Price?
Funny old world, you being here after what you told me at school.
What do you want, Mr. Price? I am an extremely busy man.
Duplicate copies of everything in this album.
May I look?
Of course.
You want duplicates of everything in here?
For my sister.
Shouldn't be difficult. Doesn't look as if there is anything of much value here. More an accumulation than a collection. The usual schoolboy juvenilia. Yours?
There is a complete set of North Borneo animal stamps.
Terribly common. We give them away as starter packs with new albums. This isn't even a stamp.
What is it, then?
A gift tag. The sort of thing you stick on Christmas presents.
You found something.
These Newfoundland 5 cents might have been worth a bob or two if they'd been left in a block, but I'm afraid the usual schoolboy ignorance seems to have got the better of you.
Yes, well, that was my sister.
Hello. What do we have here?
The Antiguan envelope.
Received April 6th, 1866, insufficiently stamped. Now this, Oliver, might be worth having. Antigua, one penny, purple brown, young queen's head.
Puce.
Purple brown, brun pourpre, purpur brown.
Puce.
Purple brown is the correct philatelic description, Mr. Price. Mr. Frederick Young, last heard of in Canterbury Settlement, care of Messrs. John White, Billet and Sons, Liverpool, England.
It was given to me by a friend.
Well, Oliver, I think I might have a teeny-weeny bit of a problem finding a duplicate of this one. I've never seen an Antiquan stamp like it. Not with a lighthouse on it.
Is it valuable?
If it is unique, it's priceless, Mr. Price. And I have to say that on first sight it looks genuine enough. Watermark Crown CC, perforation 14, postmark AO2. I'll be only too happy, Oliver, to authenticate it for you if you wish.
If that's fast.
Oh, definitely fast.
I must have the duplicate collection by Thursday morning at the latest.
Leave it to me, Oliver.
Well, I will see you on Thursday.
Did you get it? The album?
Yes, Mr. Price. Stanley Gibbons, 1916.
Thank you.
Is it all right?
It's perfect. It's just what I need. Identical.
Did you get Miss Palfrey's picture?
Oh, yes, a photograph. Now, it's an old one she had taken from Mother when she was at drama school. Here we are.
Isn't she beautiful? Wish I had a sister like her. Harold's going to be so pleased. Thank you.
Tell me something. Didn't he mind swapping his stamp album for her?
On the contrary, Mr. Price, Harold was only too willing. Every boy has a stamp album, but how many have signed photographs of your sister? Harold will be the envy of all Hammersmith tonight.
Ah, good morning, Oliver.
Morning, Hazard. Success?
You'll find a duplicate of everything in the box, including the gift tag, though I couldn't get an unseparated pair of Puerto Rico 5 centimos.
And the Antigua penny puce?
Purple-brown, you mean?
Any news?
My preliminary investigation suggests that it is both genuine and unique. Would you be interested in selling it?
As a collector? Yes. Yes, definitely, yes.
Excellent. I will complete my inquiries, and then, all being well, we'll put it up for auction.
I'm coming! pretty punctual, aren't you?
I've been looking forward to this all week.
In here. I'll make some tea. Do you want some?
That would be nice.
Biscuits? Cake?
Oh, yes, please.
What are you doing?
Reading your novel.
You have no business.
Isn't that what novels are for? Why do you write in green ink?
Because I like the way it looks on the page. What do you think of it so far?
Not much.
You can't have read more than a few pages.
Enough.
Milk? Sugar?
Please. Couldn't make head or tail of what was going on at the beginning. You bring on too many characters too soon. If I did that on stage, I'd be playing to empty houses.
My readers are not going to be quite the sort of people you'd find in your theatre. Anyway, I want them to have to work a bit.
And have your readers shut your novel saying they can't be bothered.
I don't want that sort of person reading my book.
Oh, who do you want reading your book?
The intelligent man. Or woman.
I see. That explains everything. You're writing literature.
Shall we start?
Oliver, you're not ill, are you?
No, I never felt better in my life. Why?
It makes me uneasy when you're like this.
Like what?
Cooperative. Tea, biscuits, cake. You haven't dosed my tea with arsenic, have you?
I've been thinking over what you said when we met and decided that perhaps there is a certain justice in what you said.
Now I am suspicious. You could still give me back Mother's things and keep all the stamps.
Don't start that again. You got any tweezers?
Eyebrow tweezers.
Don't do.
Shove the album over then. I think the best way of doing it will be for me to put a J against the ones I want, and you to put an O against your choices. Then at the end of every page I'll take mine out.
As you like. We'll start at the beginning with Great Britain.
You can have first choice.
Right.
That one.
1884, £1 brown lilac.
Thought you might take that one.
Your go.
Don't rush me.
1887, £1 green.
I could see from your eyes that you wanted it.
No, I didn't. This is the one I wanted. Go on, it's your turn.
The more you try to rush me, the slower I'll be. Now, let me see. This one.
Your turn.
Antigua. Now, let me see.
That one?
Wait. I haven't decided yet.
Come on, Jane. We'll be here all night.
Shh. I'm deciding.
You've got the whole page to choose from.
By the way, what happened to the stamp on the envelope?
Which stamp? What envelope?
The one I got from an anonymous source, Edith. I sent it to you at Chichester. Remember now?
Vaguely.
It should be here.
Well, it must have slipped out.
Oliver, I know when you're not telling the truth.
I don't think I ever actually stuck it in.
Where is it, then?
I don't know.
There's something funny going on. I don't know what it is, but I shall find out. Don't you worry.
Look, if you don't trust me, I'll shut the album and heave you out. I've been too nice to you for too long already.
Don't lose your temper.
Sometimes.
Anyway, that's my choice.
What?
The stamp on the envelope.
You can't choose a stamp which isn't here.
I just have. Your turn.
You cannot do anything properly.
I told you what I wanted. Now it's your turn to choose what you want.
That's that, then. Satisfied?
Suspicious. I know you're up to something, else you wouldn't have been so damned sporting about the whole matter.
An Englishman's word is his bond.
Don't give me that public school stuff. That pair of unused Puerto Rican 5 centimos weren't separated when you put them in.
You separated them yourself. Don't you remember the row we had over them?
That was the Newfoundland 5 cents.
Puerto Rico 5 centimos. Would I be likely to separate a rare pair of stamps?
And that French 10 centimes with Napoleon's head had a tear at the bottom, not the top.
You must have been looking at it upside down.
There's something upside down about this whole business. You've been altogether too nice this afternoon. It's quite out of character.
I've turned over a new leaf.
You expect me to believe that? I've known you too long. And that smug look on your face tells me I'm right to be suspicious.
Edith?
Oliver!
It's ages since I've seen you.
But so
3.5 years.
You've got a good memory. What are you doing in the park?
I'm on my way to a production meeting with Jane at the theatre.
Ah, new show.
Victorian Paradise. It's the most ambitious thing we've done yet. It's got this amazing scene in which a boat is rowed across an underground lake. It's frightfully difficult to get it right. Jane is being ever so patient.
Well, you mustn't let that sister of mine bully you.
I don't. I'm her partner.
Well, that's what I mean. Without you and your inheritance, she'd be nowhere.
Oliver.
Now you know it's true.
I wish you two could be friends.
Tell Jane that. I'm glad I bumped into you like this. I want some advice for a novel I'm writing. You're the only scientist I know. I wonder if you'd care to lunch with me at the Savoy tomorrow.
Oliver, I'd love to. I'm sure Jane would be able to spare me for a couple of hours.
Don't tell Jane. I want this to be, our little secret.
Miss Hatless?
Yes, Miss Palfrey.
Where's Edith?
You said she had to go out.
Where?
She didn't say.
Didn't you ask her?
No, I didn't think it was my...
I can't have my people coming and going as they please. I might have needed her.
Sorry?
It's no good being sorry. As my secretary, you are expected to keep an eye on things like that.
Yes, Miss Palfrey.
Can you stop typing for a moment?
Yes, Miss Palfrey.
I want you to do a letter. Got your notebook?
Yes, Miss Palfrey.
Dear sirs, I am a specialist in the stamps of Antigua and would be obliged to hear from you whenever you have an outstanding philatelic rarity of that country for sale. Sign it M. Hapless. Got it?
Yes, Miss Palfrey.
Send it to all the principal stamp dealers.
I used to help my brother collect stamps.
Oh, still got your album?
Oh, no. My brother lost his temper with me one day and pulled my hair when I made a mistake.
Typical.
I bit him on the leg really hard. Made him cry, but he wouldn't let me near his album again.
Wrong tactic.
Yeah, I suppose it was, but what else could I have done?
Bought him a bag of stamps. It would have so knocked him off his balance, he'd have offered you a half share in his album.
I'm afraid I was never much good at turning the other cheek. Besides, I did rather enjoy sinking my teeth into his leg.
Yeah, the direct approach does have its compensations.
More wine.
No, thanks. I've got to work this afternoon.
Mustn't upset Jane, must we?
Oliver, that's not nice.
What's she up to, anyway, apart from putting on Victorian Paradise?
Well, she's taken on your Australian cousin, the Marquis of the Babraham, in the publicity department.
The Marquis? The man's a sheep farmer, isn't he?
Jane calls him the emu because he's incredibly tall, with enormously long legs.
She hasn't mentioned anything about stamps to you, has she?
No. Why should she?
I just wondered.
Mind you, I haven't seen a lot of Jane lately, as I've been so busy in my workshop.
If you do hear anything, you will let me know, won't you?
Oliver, I'm not your spy. I think the only reason you wanted to see me is so that you can find things out about Jane.
Edith, how could you think such a thing?
You haven't asked me a single thing about scientists for your book.
Well, I don't actually need that any longer. I've written the character out.
Oh. I thought... That was why you'd ask me out to lunch.
It was only part of the reason.
Oliver, you're making me blush.
Look, I'm not very good at this sort of thing. You must know, ever since we were children, I've always had a bit of a thing about you. But with you being Jane's partner and things between Jane and I being, well, let's see, difficult, I never felt that I could, do anything.
Ollie, you don't mind if I call you Ollie, do you?
I've decided I'm not going to let Jane get in the way of my feelings any longer.
Sometimes you say the sweetest things. Oh, what are you doing with my spectacles? Oliver, I can't see. Oliver.
One and two and three and four and one and two and... Good, good. Keep it going, keep it going.
What do you mean, Gwenny, you saw Edith and Oliver lunching together?
At the Savoy.
Are you sure it was Edith?
Quite sure.
But Edith works for me.
She's your partner.
Same thing.
Get that leg higher, Addy. Higher. That's better.
What were they talking about?
Couldn't hear.
Oliver must be plotting something.
From what I saw, I don't think that was it.
Straight back. Straight back, Addy.
Edith and Oliver. At the end of the meal, he kissed her.
Kissed her? How disgusting. I mean, I know Edith's no picture postcard, but surely she has more self-respect. And at the Savoy.
pound.
Very good, Addie, very good. But you must remember, we still have a Lord Chamberlain.
Costume fit all right?
Oh, I didn't notice it.
Nor did we, my dear, nor did we. Now, most of you will have already met my third cousin, the Marquis of Brabraham.
Call me Henry or the Emu, everyone else does.
Emu is working in our publicity department.
We need new signed photographs to send out.
Of all of us?
Of all of you. You know I never give out signed photographs of myself.
Oh, I've got one.
Rubbish.
Oh, it's signed.
That's impossible. It must be a forgery.
My friend who got it me said it was genuine. It's signed Much Loved Jane, 1923.
In a Columbine costume.
Hmm.
Must be the one you sent your mother when you were at drama school.
Who gave it to you?
Oh, a friend.
What friend?
Oh, he won't get into trouble if I tell you.
You will if you don't. That picture is stolen property.
Oh, I didn't know it was stolen.
So what's the name of your friend?
Harold. Harold Dormer. He thinks he's in love with me. I had to give him a specially big hug to get him to give it me.
And how did he get hold of it?
He said his dad met this strange fella in a picture gallery who offered to swap it for an old stamp album.
Oliver.
I'm afraid I've rather underestimated him. Addie, I want you to do something for me.
Yes, Miss Palfrey?
It will probably mean giving your friend an extra big hug.
Oh, I don't mind. He's quite cuddly.
Get him to write to whoever his father got the photograph off, begging for the return of the album. Tell him it's for sentimental reasons. Ooh, right, for the last time. Ready? Oh, thank you, Addie.
That's all right, Miss Palfrey.
Look at this, Miss Hapless. Oliver must have substituted this album for his own and filled it with duplicates of our collection.
But why go to all that trouble?
Because our album was too sacrosanct to be touched. I knew there was something fishy going on, and now I've got the evidence. I hope this didn't cost you too dear, Addie.
Oh, no. Harold tried to get me to do my dance for him, but I said it was against the law to do it in private. I had to kiss him, though.
I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. He's taking me to the pictures on Sunday.
Dear sir, we're pleased to inform you that a postage stamp of the greatest beauty and rarity from Antigua will come under the hammer at our auction room in the sale commencing at 2 p.m. Tuesday, February the 12th. May we suggest that should you favour us with your presence, you will arrive no later than 1:30 p.m. The philatelic world has already expressed the greatest interest in this unique stamp.
Seats cannot be reserved and our accommodation is strictly limited.
Tomorrow?
Dear sir.
All girls who collect stamps are honorary boys. I just hope it's not too late. Can you get my lawyer on the phone?
Good afternoon, gentlemen and ladies. Welcome to this afternoon's auction of world stamps. Yes. Lot 1, general collection in improved album. £10, guineas, 15, £11, guineas, 15, £12, guineas, 15, £13, guineas, 15, £14, guineas, 15, £15, £15. Gentlemen over on my right, £15, all finished. Pay my clerk at the desk. Lot 2, various British colonials on album sheets. New Brunswick first types, Turks Island, St. Christopher, Gambia, St. Vincent, Cape Cod. Pay my clerk at the desk. Gentlemen and ladies, you will, I hope, pardon me if I break from the tradition of this room and preface with a few words the sale of our final item, Lot 74, Antigua, 1 penny, purple brown. Purple brown or puce, we all know which is correct. Young Queen's head on octagonal tablet with ship and lighthouse design. Not merely an unrecorded variety, but an early stamp of wholly unknown design and yet unimpeachably genuine. Extensive research has shown that the ship which was carrying the complete printing of this design went down with all hands off the coast of Antigua. The entire consignment of stamps was destroyed, apart from the one we have before us this afternoon. The stamp was affixed to a cover containing the last letter written by the captain, which was then put in a bottle and thrown into the sea. Almost certainly the captain's last act before being swept overboard and drowned. Several days later, the bottle was found washed up on an Antiguan beach. Excuse me, but I'm sure you're all as moved as I am. The stamp is in perfect condition and has a certificate of authentication from the Royal Philatelic Society. Lot 74, Antigua, Penny, Purple Brown, or Puce. Who will start me at £1,500? £1,500, £1,700, £1,900, £21, £23, £25, £27, £29. £29, sir. £31, £33, £35, £37, £39, £41, £43, £45, £47. £4,700, £4,700. Are you all finished? Gentleman on my right has it at £4,700, £800, £800, £900, £900, £5,000, £5,000, £5,000 over on my right. £5,100, £200, £400, thank you, sir. £600, £800, £5,800. Gentleman on my right has it at £5,800. £5,800.
Oh, what's the man doing there?
What's going on?
Outside bid, quite against the spirit of the occasion.
Quiet, please. We have an outside bid. £7,000. I am bid £7,000. £7,000. Are you all finished? £7,000. £7,000. Thank you, gentlemen, and good afternoon. All that it is left for me to do is to remind you of our next auction sale on Wednesday, March 14th, starting at 2 p.m. Thank you, gentlemen.
Pretty smart piece of work, that.
Yes, Mr. Price, dashed smart. Now, what are you going to do about this?
What is it?
Read it.
It's a 7,000 bid, isn't it?
Like hell it is. It's an injunction forbidding us from selling your wretched stamp. Apparently, it wasn't yours to sell.
But you sold it.
To O. Price Esquire, a former way of withdrawing the lot without embarrassing the owner. Though why I bothered in this case, I don't know.
It's my stamp.
Tell that to the judge. We'll send you our bill as soon as it's ready.
In the High Court of Justice, King's Bench Division, between Jane Palfrey, plaintiff, and Oliver...
So, you got it.
Jane.
You didn't really think you'd be able to get away with selling my stamp as easily as that, did you?
Your stamp?
My stamp. But don't let's argue now. It'll be so much more fun in court.
Do you remember the envelope with the Antiguan stamp you gave Jane to send to me when I was up at Chartiston?
Of course I do. I stole it from Father's safe.
It was for me, wasn't it?
Yes, why?
Jane is being difficult about it.
I gave it to her to send to you for your album.
Exactly. Trouble is, Jane doesn't see it like that. She's claiming it belongs to her.
That's not fair, Oliver. The only reason I didn't send it to you myself was because I didn't want you to think me forward.
I guessed it must be from you.
Did you really?
I didn't thank you because I felt bound to respect your wish for anonymity.
You've always been such a gentleman. That's one of the things I like most about you.
A few months ago, I decided to share the contents of my album with Jane. Did she tell you?
No.
Yes, I thought as much.
I always go out of the room when your name comes up. She always says such nasty things about you.
See, the point is that we divided up the collection, but I held back the envelope because I've always regarded it as special, a gift from you to me.
Holly.
Anyway, the point is that a few days ago, I put the stamped envelope up for auction.
Why?
Well, of course, I didn't want to, it being of such great sentimental value to me, but with the new novel taking longer than I anticipated, I thought that if I could get a tidy sum for the stamp, well, I'd be able to, well, you know, ask.
Oh, Ollie Kings, you're such a romantic.
I knew you wouldn't mind.
Can I kiss you?
Better not in here.
You're such a spoilsport.
The trouble is, Jane heard about the auction and had an injunction slapped on, preventing me from selling the stamp. Now she's threatening to take me to court to get the stamp. My stamp. Your stamp. No, our stamp.
Why?
Pure spite. She doesn't want the stamp. She's got enough money. She has never been remotely interested in philately. She just hates the idea of me having something that she hasn't got.
I'll beg her not to sue you.
Fat lot of good that'll do. You know as well as I do, there's no shifting Jane when she's got an idea into that little head of her. No, no. What I need is for you to tell a version of what you've just said about giving the envelope to me.
In court.
Otherwise, I'll lose my case and be publicly labelled a cheat and a liar. Then I'll never be able to marry you.
I'd marry you anyway. I don't care what people think.
Thanks, Edith. But I couldn't inflict such a social stigma on you, of all people. It wouldn't be right. My sense of honour wouldn't allow it. I'm sorry, Edith, but
It's the way I am.
I'll just tell the truth.
That's the last thing you must do if you want justice. You have to realize that lawyers are so unfamiliar with the truth that when they hear it, they don't recognize it. Now, what you have to do is tell them a near truth to get them to understand the literal truth.
You know, I'd do anything for you, Oliver.
I knew you would.
Thank you, Ollie.
Because if Jane was a gentleman, none of this wretched business would be necessary.
Emu, glad I caught you. I thought you'd gone to lunch.
I'm working on that story about you for the Daily Express.
Oh, well done. Are you hungry?
Yeah, I could eat a horse.
We don't eat horses in England. We leave that to the French. But they do a very good cow in the restaurant round the corner.
This brother of yours doesn't sound quite human.
I knew you'd understand.
You're not going to let him get away with it.
No. I need to show Edith once and for all the type of villain she's involved with.
It's your duty.
I know she and Oliver are up to something from the way she's been avoiding me these last few days.
When we get back, perhaps you can give me that letter to look at.
Why?
I thought I'd see if I could trace that brother the letter was sent to.
Frederick Young? But he would be at least 120 years old.
But he probably had descendants.
Gosh, yes. I hadn't thought of that. You know, Emu, you're the only person who understands me. I feel I can really trust you.
I'm glad you feel that way.
Don't get the wrong idea, Emu. I can't think of anything like that until I get that stamp back.
After the court case?
If we win.
In November 1919, my client, Miss Jane Palfrey, entered into an informal partnership with Mr. Price to share a stamp collection, which had previously been the sole property of Mr. Price. Unfortunately, no precise records were kept by either party, but I am assured by Miss Palfrey that she participated fully in acquiring, sorting, and mounting stamps in the jointly held collection.
Rubbish! Silence!
I shall continue. My client maintains that at no time did Mr. Price ever suggest that he wished to alter the arrangement he had entered into voluntarily. We then come to the events of Thursday, September 27th, last at Albion Mansions, the home of Mr. Price. Having feigned amicable agreement to share the collection, Mr. Price then substituted a similar album in order to deceive my client into believing that they were dividing up the original, jointly owned collection. My client, unaware of the deception, and being of a generous disposition, allowed Mr. Price first choice. When the stamps of the United Kingdom had thus been divided, the same method of division was used for the British colonies. The first such colony in the album was the island of Antigua. My client immediately inquired as to the whereabouts of the brownish purple or puce Antiguan stamp of one penny denomination. The defendant replied, "It must have slipped out. I don't think I ever put it in." My client then deliberately missed her turn, thereby establishing her right to the stamp.
You permitted your brother to take the stamp album to Chartister School?
He insisted he would improve our collection by swapping.
The Chartister? At the time, my lord, my client was unaware of the opprobrium such activities attract to that particular educational establishment.
I must say that I find that very difficult to believe. Do continue. Stamp collecting at Chartister, whatever next.
I suggest that by this time you'd lost whatever little interest you had pretended to have in stamp collecting. Isn't that true, Miss Palfrey?
It most certainly is not. I continue to send my brother stamps collected from friends and relatives, though precious little thanks I got for it.
Because they were worthless.
Mr. Price.
Well, they were.
Mr. Price.
I'm afraid you will have to forgive my brother. He has always believed loud assertion a reasonable substitute for the truth. Only when I received a curt note from my brother saying that he put such childish things behind him, did I stop sending him stamps.
By which time you'd already sent him the Antigua penny purple brown on behalf of Miss White Billy.
No, sir. I sent it on my behalf.
I suggest Miss White Billy did not give you the letter and stamped envelope, which was not hers to give, but merely lent you the letter as an interesting document to read.
No, sir, it was a gift.
I suggest, moreover, that you then said that the stamp would interest your brother and asked permission to send it to him to get his opinion as to its value.
Miss Whitebillet said the stamp was for our collection.
Are you aware that Miss Whitebillet, whom you know to be a woman of the highest integrity, insists that the letter envelope and stamp were only on loan to you?
Does she?
Indeed, she does. And you still continue in your pretension to the ownership of the stamp?
My mother taught me that to make a gift and then recall it was as bad, if not worse, than stealing.
You're accusing your business partner of a crime you consider worse than stealing, and your brother of contemplating perjury.
If Miss Whitebillet recalls her gift, I shall consider it morally reprehensible. I have never regarded my brother as either truthful or honorable.
Mr. Price, did you or did you not agree to share your album with your sister?
No, sir.
No, sir.
When my sister made her absurd request, I told her that I would see whether she could pull her weight before deciding. I doubted that her interest in my stamps was more than a passing fad. My sister is by nature fickle, as any readers of society columns will know.
And did your sister pull her weight?
Not at all. She did not have the necessary philatelic temperament.
My sister was just the same, hopeless. Do continue, Mr. Schreiner.
You were therefore very surprised when some 14 years later your sister made her preposterous claim for half your collection.
Absolutely flabbergasted.
Can you remember what she said to you?
I shall come to your flat and we'll work through the album page by page, taking turns to extract the stamps. I'm going to watch your face carefully to see which stamps you most hope I won't take, and I'm going to take them. It will be like pulling teeth.
The distress these words caused my client can be easily imagined. Is it any wonder that he resorted to the innocent little subterfuge of substituting an identical album containing a duplicate collection of equal value to prevent the plaintiff from destroying what he had so carefully nurtured? Will you now be so good as to tell the court how you came into possession of the Antigua Penny Puce?
A purple brown. Puce is not a philatelic term.
Miss Whitebillet sent it to me via my sister for my opinion. I'm afraid I forgot to return it.
Did the stamp at any time form part of your collection?
No, it always belonged to Miss Whitebillet.
Was it stuck in the album?
I think he means mounted.
No, I didn't separate it from the envelope. I merely filed it under Antigua. As I said, it didn't belong to me.
And Miss Whitebillet asked you about it last June?
That is correct. I told her it might have some market value because I was unable to find it in Gibbons.
A stamp catalogue, Milan.
Thank you, Mr. Schreiner.
And what was Miss Whitebillet's reaction?
She asked me to sell it.
We met by accident in Regent Park, and we got talking about old times. The stamp came up, and Mr. Price very kindly offered to find out whether it had any value, and if so, to arrange its sale on my behalf. He is a very kind man. He is, Jane, he is.
Were you therefore surprised when Mr. Price told you that Miss Palfrey claimed the stamp formed part of the collection?
Jane's actions are never predictable, therefore I am never surprised.
Did you consider Miss Palfrey was behaving in an overbearing and grasping manner?
My lad, I must protest. My learned friend is leading his witnesses. They have shown they are quite capable of abusing my client without his assistance.
I'm afraid you did rather overstep the mark, Mr. Schreiner.
I beg the court's forgiveness. I had no intention of abusing Miss Palfrey. Indeed, I can truthfully say Miss Palfrey has no greater admirer than myself. As an actress who can make the most preposterous behavior convincing, Miss Whitebillet, did you consider Miss Palfrey's attitude justifiable?
I didn't think it was very nice of her to claim the stamp I'd given him.
Wasn't it a loan?
My client means she gave it to him for his opinion, not possession.
Were you fond of Mr. Price?
He was a good friend.
Did you send any other stamps to him while he was at Chargestown?
One or two.
For his opinion or for the collection?
As gifts.
You specifically distinguished between them and the Antiguan stamp.
I passed them to Jane to send on to him. I don't know how she described them.
Why didn't you send them yourself?
It didn't seem proper.
You didn't wish to be seen to be making advances to him.
Yes, that is correct.
I suggest that you did in fact give the stamps to the jointly owned collection and that this story of the loan is a complete fabrication.
No, no.
And what's more, your recently renewed attachment to Mr. Price has led you to present the court with a string of lies calculated only to strengthen your position in his affection.
No!
When was your note purporting to authorize the sale written? Miss Whitebillet.
You must try to answer the question, Miss Whitebillet.
On the date.
What date, Miss Whitebillet? What date?
June. It was June.
Remember, you are on Earth, Miss Whitebillet.
June the 23rd.
June 23rd. How fortunate. How very convenient. You wait 14 years. 14 years, and then you write to the defendant concerning a stamp both of you claim to have forgotten existed. I put it to you, Miss Whitebillet, that the said letter was written several months later at the request of the defendant after this action had commenced.
No, no!
One final question, Miss Whitebillet.
Yes.
Are you engaged to marry Mr. Price?
Stop it! Stop it! Stop torturing the poor woman! If you want to ask such questions, ask me!
Mr. Price! Any more interruptions and I'll have you locked up for contempt.
My client apologizes unreservedly.
Inform him he's not at Chichester now.
No further questions.
How could she? How could she?
Calm down, Jane. You'll do yourself an injury.
After all I've done for her.
Edith's in love.
With Oliver?
He's not bad looking.
Oh!
He can be quite charming.
Granny!
Sometimes.
If she's got to fall in love, why can't she fall in love with someone normal?
That's the thing about love. It never is normal.
Downright perverse. Can't she see he's using her to spite me? I wouldn't mind if there was any chance she was going to be happy with him. I'm the last person to begrudge Edith anything. You know that, Gwenny. But Oliver!
Aren't you going to ask me to dance?
Is something the matter, darling? You've hardly spoken all evening.
No one believed you.
I only said what you told me to.
It could have at least sounded convincing. You have cost me £7,000.
Oliver!
You realize, of course, I won't be able to marry you now.
Don't say that. You know I have more than enough money for both of us. And anyway, even if you were the poorest man in London, I would still marry you.
I couldn't live off your money.
Why ever not?
It would be immoral.
So?
I do have principles, Edith. Unlike Jane.
In coming to my conclusion, I have ignored the considerable amount of personal feeling which regrettably has been expressed in this courtroom over the last few days. I have to say that I am not altogether satisfied with the account given by Miss Whitebillet of how she authorized the sale of the stamp. However, in the absence of proof to the contrary, I must accept her letter of June the 23rd, authorizing Mr. Price to sell the stamp on her behalf as genuine. I am, on the other hand, satisfied that the stamp was not merely lent, but freely given by the young Miss Whitebillet to the joint collection as far as it was in her power to give it. Thus, in September last year, the plaintiff had the right to claim that the collection should be partitioned equally between herself and the defendant. Now, I am also satisfied that if the Antigone stamped envelope had been mounted correctly, the plaintiff would have chosen it for herself. I would therefore have had no hesitation in dismissing the points raised by the defense and give judgment for the plaintiff.
You're on yet, Cobber!
For the last time. But for the fact that in 1921, Miss Whitebillet did not have the right to give the stamp to Mr. Price and his sister, since she freely admits to having stolen it from her father's safe. So although not in his possession, it remained the lawful property of her father, Sir Reginald Whitebillet, until his death in 1929, when Miss Whitebillet inherited it. The stamp envelope was therefore never the lawful property of either Mr. Price or Miss Palfrey. Therefore, in the circumstances, and with some reluctance, I have no alternative but to give judgment for the defendant. I've won! I've won! It's mine! The stamp is mine!
Hey! Hey!
Ladies and gentlemen, the bride and groom.
The bride and groom.
Thank you. Thank you. It really is splendid to see so many of you here this afternoon, and at such short notice. Edith and I are especially pleased that so many members of the Burlington Company have made the effort to be here. even if my sister Jane hasn't felt able to join our celebrations, but then other people's happiness has never meant much to her.
What's the matter, Addie? You're going to ever so pale.
I feel awful.
Yeah, I don't feel so bright myself. The salmon didn't taste too fresh.
Oh, I'm going to be sick.
A doctor? Is there a doctor in the house?
Who needs a doctor?
The salmon's been poisoned.
Stop this.
They're ill.
They are not ill. They are actors. Jane's up to her tricks again. Play some music. Pianist, music, damn you.
Tell me more.
When the ambulances arrived, Oliver tried physically to stop them taking anyone away. He kept on shouting that we were all acting, but no one believed him. At one stage, it got quite rough. Oh,
serves him right, I say.
And poor Edith was in tears.
Oh, the first of many, no doubt.
He's with someone, Oliver.
I don't care.
You can't.
Get out of our way,
Gwenny. Oh, I'm sorry,
Gwenny. There you are.
Hello, Edith. Had enough of him already?
I couldn't stop them.
That's all right, Gwenny.
You want me to throw him downstairs?
Not yet.
How is everybody? I couldn't leave on our honeymoon without knowing.
I don't think anyone will die.
I told you, Edith. It's just Jane's twisted idea of a joke.
They were really ill, Oliver. You saw poor Adelaide.
Yes, I did, and I wasn't any more convinced by that performance than when I've seen her on stage.
Oh, Oliver, that's not a very nice thing to say.
If all you've come round for is to insult me and my company, I will get Henry to chuck you downstairs.
Just give the word.
I want you and Oliver to make up.
Never.
As a wedding present, Jane.
I realize that love is supposed to be privileged, but perjury and theft, Edith, are, in my opinion, beyond the limit.
I told you it was a waste of time. She's always been a poor loser.
Oliver said it was only a technical offense.
To ensure justice was done.
Justice? Don't make me laugh. I'm sorry, Edith, but if you've come round here looking for forgiveness, forget it. Stick with Oliver and we're finished.
But he's my husband.
And we are partners. Something you seem to have forgotten remarkably quickly. We were the perfect match, Edith. Your genius for all things technical and my acting.
And Edith's money.
Oliver!
Well, it's true, Edith. Without your money, Jane would be French dancing at some provincial flea pit.
What's going to happen to our partnership? You know what you have to do.
I wish I'd never taken that wretched stamp.
Then return it to its rightful owner.
Edith is putting it up for auction again.
If I share the proceeds with you both, will you promise to be friends?
No!
You know he doesn't love you, don't you, Edith? Never has.
You're wrong, Jane, you're wrong.
If it wasn't for the stamp...
Stop it, Jane, stop it!
I told you we shouldn't have come.
You'll find out soon
enough. Come on, Edith, don't talk to her. She's quite mad.
Goodbye, Jane.
Goodbye, Edith. And remember that even if we're no longer partners, you can always count on me when you've had enough. I know all the best divorce lawyers in London. I had a letter from Edith today.
What does she want?
To come back to the theatre.
What?
She wants us to put on Oliver's play.
Well, he must think theatre managers are bigger fools than publishers.
She says it's a political satire all about fascists and communists set in a mythical country called Anglitania.
I've been a dozen of those every week.
Edith reckons it's quite the best thing she's ever read.
Well, it is probably marginally more exciting than those scientific papers she usually reads.
I wouldn't bet on it. She says it's been turned down by 4 theatre managers, which proves how out of touch they all must be.
You're not thinking of having her back?
Not with Oliver in tow.
If that bum of a brother of yours came to work here, I'd move out. I don't mind Edith, she's a good sport, but that brother of yours...
Oh, Emu, I love the way you take on my enemies as your own.
It's easy with Oliver.
True, I never had any difficulty. I'm going to let Edith buy me out. She already has a half share, and if she really insisted on putting on Oliver's dreadful play, and I know it must be dreadful because it was written by him... There's not a lot I could do about it.
You're going to leave the Burlington?
Theatre's dead, Emu. And if it isn't, then Oliver's play will be the coup de grace. We've got to move on. I'm going into films.
Jane?
Hmm?
What do you think me good for?
What a question.
If you sell the theatre...
Emu!
I need to know.
Satisfied?
No.
Better.
A bit. You know, I've been thinking about us two.
Oh, dear.
I just thought... I don't know. You know.
Go on.
Well, you see, I promised myself that if I got hold of a certain little thing which I know that someone wants very much and gave it to them, I would ask that person... It's a sort of a test.
And?
It's a long story, but the gist of it is that 12 years ago, a woman and her daughter came from Australia to visit Otmore, where the two brothers were from. Apparently, the mother died of some complaint because she refused to see her doctor. The daughter had a lot of trouble with her tonsils that told someone she wouldn't dream of having them out because it was all error to believe that tonsils could be poisonous. I deduced from that that they must be Christian Scientists. In short, I've tracked down the daughter, Frederick Young's last surviving relative.
Oh, Emu. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, I love you.
Her name is Mildred Young, and if what your barrister told me is correct, the stamp belongs to her.
She's agreed, Oliver. Jane's agreed to sell me her share in the theatre.
She had no choice.
We'll be able to put on your play.
First, we'll get Hazlitt to auction our stamp there.
But I thought you wanted your play done.
Afterwards. The auction will be the perfect event to signal to the world that the Burlington is no longer the home of Jane's tawdry theatricals and that a new go-ahead management has taken over. I can see it now. It'll make Victorian paradise look like something in a penny daff. The Burlington Theatre, world's greatest stamp auction. All in lights. A full house of the world's richest stamp collectors, each stamp projected on a giant screen as it comes up for auction. An orchestra of London's finest musicians.
Thank you, Your Highness, Your Excellency, Lords, Ladies and Gentlemen, and members of the Royal Philatelic Society. Welcome to the Burlington Theatre. Before I get the main business of the evening underway, I would like to thank my very good friend, Mr. Oliver Price, for allowing us to use what is indisputably the finest theatre in London. Mr. Price and I have known each other since we were both keen collectors at school. Unfortunately, I could never persuade him to swap Miss White Billet's, as she then was, Antiguan stamp. And as I look around, I am reminded by the presence of so many familiar faces that the world of philately is but one universal brotherhood, or should I say, family. Whether we be proudly turning the pages of our album to the goggle-eyed admiration of our fellow pupils at Chartister, or adding a unique stamp to our collection beneath the wondrous gaze of 100 heavily armed coolies, quite oblivious to the ever-nearing shell and rifle fire, we are united by this greatest of hobbies. The language of philately speaks louder than words, louder than gunfire. It is above the clamor and disputes of nations. It is the true Esperanto of our times. Those proud warriors and those cherubic English schoolboys are but brothers in our universal brotherhood. And now let us move on to Lot 50. The rarest and most beautiful stamp in the world, the Venus de Milo of philately, though unlike that poor lady, complete and undamaged. The Antigua one penny purple brown 1866, which has been enshrined in the public heart under the unphilatelic but expressive nom de guerre, Antigua Penny Puce. Your Highness, Your Excellency, Lords, Ladies and Gentlemen, and members of the Royal Philatelic Society, Lot 50, the Antigua Penny Puce, which will now be carried through the auditorium.
Mwah. What's that for?
Our stamp.
My stamp.
What's happened?
That stupid girl carrying the stamp has tripped over some idiot's leg.
Oh, that's Emu, the Marquis of Babraham.
You're right.
No, I'm not.
Here, let me help you out.
Where's the envelope?
Here.
Thank you.
I'm terribly sorry, my long legs.
You should be more bloody careful. You ruined my stocking.
Thank you. On the screen is all its glory, Lot 50, the Antigua Penny Puce.
Who will start me at £2,000? £2,000, £2,100, £2,200, £2,300, £2,400, £500, £600, £700, £800, £900, £3,000, £3,000, £3,100, £200, £300, £400, £500, £300, £8,300, £8,300. For the last time, lot 50, the sum of £8,300 is offered. Selling now at £8,300. Is that a bid in the box on my left? Yes, thank you, sir. £8,400, £500, £600, £700, £8,800, £900, £9,000, £9,100.
£10,000, £15,000, £20,000.
£20,000 in the box on my left.
£30,000.
£40,000.
I wish Jane was here to see this.
They must be mad.
They don't want to lose face, you see. They both claim to be the richest man in Asia.
Who is that woman running onto the stage?
I don't know. I've never seen her before in my life.
£120,000. £120,000.
Excuse me, I think this is mine.
Madam.
My letter.
Your letter? There's no letter in there anyway. It belongs to Mrs. Edith Price. Now, will you please leave the stage before I call the police?
There is a letter inside the envelope. Look. And it's in the same writing as the address on the front.
So?
I am Mildred Young. And as sole surviving relative of Captain Young, I claim the letter, stamp, and envelope.
What?
Thank you.
Stop her! Stop that woman!
Oh, what's happening?
That woman has just stolen my stamp! Stop her!
My solicitor said that Mildred had a right to both envelope and letter, but that this right was somewhat obscured by the fact that letter and envelope had been separated for so long. And that's why I had to trip that poor girl up and get the letter into the envelope.
I understand all that, but I thought the court had made it clear it belonged to Edith.
But in law, there's a difference between ownership, possession, and the right to possession. And basically, the White Billets had a right of wrongful possession of the envelope because it wasn't claimed. The only person who could have rightful possession of it was Mildred, but she couldn't exercise her right unless she had physical possession.
Right. And so what did you pay her for the stamp?
Well, I ensured that she got a legacy of £20,000, and I paid all the solicitor's costs. Unfortunately, she signed over the title to the stamp before the auction showed how much people were prepared to pay for it.
So the stamp's absolutely and unchallengeably mine?
The stamp is yours.
Henry, you are my Lancelot, Galahad, and all the Scarlet Pimpernels in the world in one. And I'm going to marry you.
The happiest day of my life.
Me too.
You Jane Palfrey, then?
I was Jane Palfrey.
She's the Marchioness of Babraham and Baroness Blancaster, the Miss Jane Palfrey.
I've got something for you.
Another present?
Didn't you sign for it?
Not now, ma'am.
I don't do autographs, especially in green ink.
Take it.
All right. You don't have to hit me with it.
Well?
It's a bloody rip. I should have known that Oliver would try and do something to ruin today, of all days.
It's a bluff. They haven't got a leg to stand on.
Oliver's too mean to go back to court unless he's convinced he can win.
I can't think what he's up to.
You said the stamp was absolutely and unchallengeably mine.
The lawyers said it was.
You've let me down, Henry.
But I don't see how they can disprove Mildred Young's right to the stamp. She's definitely Tom Young's heir.
I married you.
Jane!
I thought you were different, but you're just as impossible as all the other men who have wanted to marry me. I'm telling you, Henry, if Oliver wins this, it'll never be the same between us again.
If that postage stamp means more to you than I do...
It does.
Then I'll have to make damn sure Oliver doesn't get it back off you.
Oh, Emu. I'm sorry. That was such an awful thing to say. I didn't really mean it.
Of course you did.
It's just the idea of Oliver laughing at me and Edith snuggling in his arms. Edith, who used to be my best friend.
We're not beaten yet, and we have present possession. It's always difficult to shake that.
Miss Young, would you be so good as to tell the court who first informed you that you were Captain Tom Young's sole surviving descendant?
The Marquis of Babraham.
Who is, I believe, now married to Miss Jane Palfrey.
Is he?
You were unaware of your great-uncle, Captain Young, before?
I always felt I must be related to someone famous.
But not Captain Young.
My ma mentioned a great-uncle who'd been a sea captain and had a fight with a polar bear on an ice floe.
Who obtained from Australia a copy of your birth certificate?
Henry did. He did everything. He was so helpful.
Oh, how very convenient. When did you first come to this country?
In 1923, with Mother. I returned to Australia 2 years later and came back in 1930 by myself.
Does the name Mavis Doyong mean anything to you?
It's my stage name.
And was it not under that name that you came to England in 1930 and pretended to tell fortunes in a Blackpool funfair?
It was character reading.
Didn't the police take a rather different view?
They were prejudiced. Anyway, the magistrate let me go.
And wasn't it through your character reading that you came into contact with a Mr. John Brownsea of Blackburn, Lancashire?
So what if I did? He was so impressed by a warning I gave him, he engaged me as his secretary.
Paying you £5 a week.
Yes.
Rather a lot for an hour's work a day.
I don't think so.
You converted him to Christian Science.
We would say he came to the truth through me.
Did he not also come to give you numerous valuable presents of clothes and jewellery?
Some of the jewellery was fake.
Mrs. Brownsea did not appreciate the help you gave her husband.
She disapproved of my religious views. Mm. She wished him to return to error.
And did he do so?
He did backslide a little.
And died of acute alcoholism.
He passed over.
Leaving you a legacy of £5,000 in the name of Mavis Doyong.
I never got it. I was cheated.
Cheated? A court decided that you exerted undue influence over Mr. Brownsea.
The judge was prejudiced against Aussies.
I put it to you, Miss Young, or should I say Mr. Young, that you are by profession what is vulgarly known as a gold digger.
No. Nor, unlike some I could name, do I make a profession of what is vulgarly known as digging up dirt.
Now be careful, Miss Young. You must only answer what you're asked, and you must keep your temper.
I'm sorry, my lord. With respect, this gentleman's language is such that if he were to use it to me outside this court, I would slap his face.
I'm sorry, Miss Young, if I have failed to treat you as the grande dame you profess to be. Have you had your tonsils removed?
My lord, I really must pretend.
Mr. Shriner?
Mildred Young, the grandniece of Captain Young, came to England with her mother in 1923. They visited Otmore, where the two brothers Thomas and Frederick were born. During this visit, Mildred Young contracted a severe throat infection, and the doctor who saw her feared for her life unless she had her tonsils removed. It is therefore unlikely that the real Mildred Young will still have her tonsils.
Do you still have your tonsils, Miss Young?
Yes. You can look if you like.
That will not be necessary.
And yet Mildred Young's doctor predicted she would die without an operation.
He did not understand the power of fate.
Indeed. Miss Young, I put it to you that you are not, nor ever have been, Mildred Young, but one Mavis Doyong, a woman with a checkered past who saw in an advertisement of the Christian Science Monitor an opportunity to impersonate a missing, presumed dead young woman and so inherit a great deal of money.
No.
No, Miss Young.
No.
That will be all, ma'am.
Surely you could have found someone a bit more convincing.
But she is Mildred Young, Jane.
In court, she looked like a common tart on the make. Adelaide would have done a much better job.
When you've been as hard up as Mildred's been, it's difficult to resist blowing the odd thousand on furs and sparklers.
In future, I'll do the casting.
She's an imposter, Mr. Shriner.
Well, of course she's an imposter. The problem is proving it. Mr. Hogtie is rather susceptible to young ladies in fur coats dripping with them.
It is preposterous. A young woman steals the world's most valuable stamp in full view of 1,000 people and the law is powerless.
The law has a different way of looking at these things, Mr. Price.
It is a cockeyed way, if you ask me.
It's not all over yet, Mr. Price. I've still got one or two rabbits to pull from the proverbial hat. I therefore submit that since Captain Young never actually paid for the stamp, that he could not transfer ownership of it to his brother and brother's heirs. And therefore my client, Mrs. Edith Price, as possessor of the stamp, had the right to the full protection of the law against all but the true owner.
My lord, stamp, envelope and letter constitute a single piece of property and are therefore indivisible.
Are they, Mr. Merlin? I well remember as a boy using a jet of steam to relieve envelopes of their stamps.
A practice regarded by modern collectors as little short of vandalism.
Really, Mr. Merlin, I found the method infallible.
I accept that it is possible to separate a stamp from the envelope, just as it is possible to remove the leg from a chair with a pair of pliers. In such a case, however, we would continue to regard the leg as belonging to the chair, even though physically separated from it. Similarly, the introduction of the adhesive postage stamp and the adroit use of the steam kettle does not change the indivisibility of stamp and envelope.
I must say that in all my considerable courtroom experience, I've never come across anyone collecting chair legs.
The point I am making is one of indivisibility.
The court is aware of that.
I accept that there may have been defects in the late Captain Young's title to the stamp, but imperfect though his rights may have been, they have descended to the defendant and are superior to any other rights.
Good it! Order! Sit down!
Ask for an adjournment.
Sit down, or else I'll have you sent down for contempt of court.
What is it?
Give me half an hour and the stamp will be finally yours, I promise you. The Phoebe, 1866. That's right. Off the coast of Antigua with all hands. Insured with Coastal and Marine. Yes.
Who are you telephoning?
They're checking something for me.
Who is? Tell me, Henry. I don't like mystery.
It's my solicitors. Yes, I'm still here.
Your solicitors? What have they got to do with all this?
It's a bit complicated.
Henry.
Well, you see, the Phoebe and its cargo was insured by Coastal and Marine Insurance, who apparently fully settled the claim. After which, of course, any recovered cargo legally belonged to them. Subsequently, the company... Yes? Yes, yes, that's right.
The company what?
Shh! Yes! Oh, thank you.
Now, what's all this about?
After the claim was settled, Coastal and Marine was bought up by my grandfather. And therefore, as sole beneficiary of my grandfather's will, I am the rightful owner of Antigua Penny Puce, since Captain Tom Young never paid for it.
Oh, brilliant, Henry! Oh, I knew I could trust you. And Oliver will have to pay all the court costs.
But it is my stamp.
I'm sorry, but I must recommend that you withdraw your writ.
She stole it.
I can well understand your sentiments, Mr. Price. I was a keen collector myself as a schoolboy. Had a complete set as a newland. But the fact is that with both possession and title, their position is unassailable. My clerk will be in touch.
Oh, I'm glad it's all over.
What?
I've felt really bad about this ever since you had me tell that little lie in court. But with Jane being so beastly and you wanting that stamp so much, it didn't seem to be so very wrong.
You haven't understood anything.
What I do understand is that your hatred of Jane is stronger than your love for me.
Edith.
Don't deny it. It'll only make things worse. It's my fault. I should never have married you.
Hello.
Hello.
You look bored.
I'm bored stiff.
Why? I was never bored at your age.
It's my beastly, beastly brother and his hateful stamp album.
Oh. What's your name, my dear?
Sarah. Sarah Whitebillet Palfrey Price.
Oh, you poor thing. Isn't your brother called Reginald?
Worse luck. How did you know?
Your mother, Edith, was my best friend.
She died in an electrical accident doing one of her experiments.
Yes, I know.
If you know her so well, why don't you ever come to our house?
I quarreled with your father.
I quarrel with him every day.
What about?
All sorts of things. Today it was about the stamp album he gave Reggie.
Tell me more.
Father gave it to Reggie on his 12th birthday. I'm not allowed to touch it because I'm a girl. Reggie sneaks to Father if he sees me even look at it.
Is Reggie one of those round-shouldered, burly boys who tells lies and pulls your hair?
He doesn't pull my hair now because I chucked a pot of glue at him last time he tried. And he knows I can always break his glasses accidentally on purpose if I need to.
Excellent.
I'm going to run away as soon as I've saved enough money. I'm going to be a dancer.
Oh, well, if you ever need any advice, you must come and see me.
Do you know what I did this morning?
No.
Promise not to tell.
I promise.
Heart of hearts.
Heart of hearts.
I got up ever so early and stole 2 pages of the novel Father is writing and hid them in the pages of the encyclopedia.
A service to literature. Look, I've got to go now. Will you be here next Sunday?
Oh, yes. I spend as little time as possible at home.
Sarah, I've brought you a little present.
Can I open it?
Of course.
A stamp album, just like Richie's.
And I think you'll find most of the stamps are the same.
Oh, it's the best present in the world. Reggie will be ever so jealous.
You mustn't let him touch it.
I wouldn't dream of it.
What are you doing with that?
Just looking at the stamp.
Give it to me.
No.
Give it to me.
No.
Ow! That hurt.
Serves you right.
Give it to me.
No!
You bit me.
You pulled my hair.
What's all this noise about? I'm trying to write.
Sarah's got my stamp album and won't give it back.
I thought I told you not to touch his album.
It isn't Reggie's album. It's mine. Look.
Sarah, with much love, Jane.
She bit me. Punish her.
Oh, shut up. Where did you get this?
A friend gave it to me. She's ever so nice. Her name's Jane Palfrey. Do you know her? He went absolutely berserk when he found out.
I know what you mean.
I don't know why he was so mad at you.
Your father has always been temperamentally unsound, even as a little boy.
I've never seen him so furious.
Oh, it must have been an awful sight. I'm sorry you had to put up with it.
It was quite funny, really.
He didn't hurt you?
Oh, no.
Good. I'm trying to arrange something which should please him even less.
Where's your letter from?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Well, why don't you open it now?
Why don't you?
Because I'm still eating my breakfast, that's why. Dear Miss Price, we beg to inform you that we are holding for you until your 16th birthday a unique postage stamp known as the Antigua Penny Puce that has this day been conveyed to you by deed at the order of your paternal aunt, the Marchioness of Babraham. The one provision attached to the gift is that you do not cede your rights in the stamp to any male member of the Price family. Some chance.
In Antigua Penny Puce by Robert Graves, dramatized by John Petherbridge. Aidan Gillett played Oliver. Trevin McDowell, Jane. Richard Pierce, young Oliver. Una Beeson, young Jane and Adelaide. Joshua Taub, Hazlitt. Alison Reed, Edith. Jonathan Keeble, Henry. Derek Waring, Schreiner. Peter Yap, Merlin. John Turner, the judge. Jilly Bond, Mildred. David Collins, Tom Young, Tessa Worsley, Gwenny, and Kristen Millwood, Miss Hatless. The play was directed by Matthew Walters.